KXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. President Trump says a suspect is in custody in the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk.
I think with a high degree of certainty, we have him.
The president tells Fox.
Somebody that was very close to him said, that's him. And essentially went to the father.
Mr. Trump revealing.
But was a person of faith, a minister, and brought him to a U.S. Marshal who was fantastic. And the father convinced the son, this is it.
No word exactly on when or where all of this took place. We're expecting more details in a news conference in half an hour. Last night, the FBI released enhanced photos of the suspect, as well as new surveillance footage showing him jumping off the roof of a building at Utah Valley University, where Kirk was killed during an outdoor appearance Wednesday. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. The Wausau Ethics Board meets today to discuss new motions from Mayor Doug Dinney to reconsider or dismiss their review of a complaint filed in January. The complaint alleges that Dinney moved an empty ballot box from City Hall despite being told by the city attorney that only the city clerk can make decisions regarding ballot boxes. The board meeting comes after the city council on Tuesday voted to table Dinney's nomination of former council president Deborah Hadley to the ethics board. The council had previously declined Dinney's nominations to the ethics board twice. Wausau River District Executive Director Callie Wolk is no longer with the organization. The River District held an emergency meeting following a social media post from Wolk about the fatal shooting of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. According to a report from the Wausau Pilot and Review, Wolk posted a link to a news story about Kirk's death with three hand clap emojis and the words, well deserved. The board issued a statement Thursday saying Callie Wolk's post does not reflect the values of the organization or the broader Wausau community. The Merrill Area Chamber of Commerce is preparing for Christmas. The chamber is seeking an artist for their 15th annual Christmas card. Entries for the contest are due by September 30th. Contestants can submit one original piece of artwork using acrylic, pen and ink, watercolor, or oil. The winner will have their artwork featured on the 2025 Christmas card and used in future promotions. They will also receive a $150 Merrill Chamber gift certificate. Archery and crossbow hunting season opens this weekend on Saturday, September 13th. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says this season looks promising for deer hunters. DNR also says early archery and crossbow seasons provide great opportunities to harvest antlerless deer. The season runs through January 2026. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
The Packers now 2-0. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Packers beat the Washington Commanders 27-18 thanks to some outstanding play by the Packers defense, safety Xavier McKinney, on how they shut down last year's Rookie of the Year, quarterback Jaden Daniels.
The pass rush was relentless. I think we did a great job, not only just rushing, but containing him as well. You know, those things, you know, all together helped us because even when sometimes he did get out of the pocket, everybody swarmed, so like it really didn't mean much. He didn't really get no worse.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers play the Crimson Tide. It's the first time ever the two teams have played together in Alabama. Kickoff set for 11 a.m. Danny O'Neill expected to start again at quarterback for the Badgers. Number 19th ranked Alabama is a 21-point favorite. Baseball tonight in Milwaukee. The Brewers opening a three-game weekend series against the St. Louis Cardinals. The Brewers still have the best record in baseball with a 5.5-game lead over the Cubs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bourbons. Some patchy fog possible early, Otherwise, partly sunny skies and another spectacular September day with a high of 79. Tonight, an isolated shower or storm possible after midnight, a low near 60. On Saturday, partly sunny and warm, a high of 82. Right now, 53 degrees.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Mr. Pat Kreitlow joins us from Lake Wissota.
Everything that I know about high culture, everything I know about opera, for example, comes from Bugs Bunny cartoon.
The kids are missing out these days. They got Bluey and all that.
Well, now it's all like real.
We had coyotes falling off of cliffs. Come on.
Exactly. And now it's all this educational crap.
We really have just become the two old men rocking on the porch talking about days gone by.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
This week, we sit down with Republican Party of Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District Chairman, Ken Sikora.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Albaugh Show.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Nice to have you here up north on a Friday morning, September 12th, 2025. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Dr. Kristen Lyerly standing by as well. And Mike Clemens will be joining us in less than a half hour to talk about the Packers' victory over the Washington Commanders. Brittany Merlot has an early start to the weekend. Get your local forecast throughout the day on your local Civic Media station. And why wait for Mike Clemens when you can pluck somebody right out of the crowd at Lambeau Field to hear all about it? That, of course, would be Dr. Lyerly. So, Kristen, how are you and how was the game?
I'm exhausted. It was wonderful. I really thought that at some point we were going to sit and watch the game, but we were on our feet almost the entire time, and it was worth it. The fans were outstanding. Sterling Sharp had his Hall of Fame ceremony last night, and he really acknowledged how important the fans are. And I mean, the gameplay was fun. Like, it was fun to watch them last night.
Yes, it was. It was fun to watch from afar as well. I mean, the first two scoring drives of more than 90 yards apiece. Tucker Kraft having a great game. Jordan Love throwing the deep ball a lot. There was just so much potential there. I'm pretty sure that the Lambeau Field crowd probably felt like the air had been left out of the balloon when Jaden Reed went down, though, in the end zone with that broken collarbone.
Yeah, of course. I mean, he's such an important part of the team, but we're so rich. We've got so much depth that I don't think we're going to feel it the way that we've felt it in the past with when injuries like this have occurred.
Yeah. And we'll, of course, get into this more with Mike Clemens coming up in the next half hour. So we don't want to steal all his thunder here. But I was wondering how we were going to go about talking about one of this week's news stories that deals with healthcare. And I thought maybe I'll just read the headlines. And one of them, of course, deals with Robert Kennedy Jr. and speculating on autism and a connection with Tylenol. And then there's the other headline, $10 million in contraceptives have been destroyed on orders from Trump officials. The birth control pills, IUDs, and hormonal implants were purchased by USAID for women in low-income countries. They'd been in limbo in a Belgian warehouse after the U.S. cut much of its foreign aid. And now that $10 million in contraceptives destined for women in low-income countries has been destroyed. I'm just going to read the headline, and Kristen, just don't say any words you can't say on the radio and go.
I guess the one word that I want to say is why?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. these devices and medications were there to prevent unplanned pregnancies. And by preventing unplanned pregnancies and unsafe situations, you save people's lives. So this was life-saving medication that we had every opportunity to use in places where it's desperately needed. And instead, we just selfishly destroyed it at cost, by the way. Mm-hmm. The American taxpayers paid to have this birth control destroyed. It just defies common sense. But that is a pattern that we're seeing over and over and over again. And frankly, I think the American people are getting tired of it.
I would think so, especially as, somebody's going to amass the bill. You know, there's this $10 million that, you know, in taxpayer funds that have been wasted, you know, this much to deploy the National Guard to pick up trash. That's money that's been wasted. And on it goes. I mean, this has been the most fiscally reckless gang to ever occupy 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Now, on the other one, on autism, Tylenol, Robert Kennedy Jr., what is it? Folate deficiencies, whatever that is. You're gonna tell me all about. Kristen, I am a pregnant woman. All right, ooh. I'm nearing the end of my first trimester, and I'm hearing all this, and I don't know what to make of it. So, what are you telling me? Besides congratulations, because that would be historic, you know.
Well, I mean, for most people, it's congratulations, but for some people, it's not. And for many people, it's really hard. For those of you who have struggled with a pregnancy, it can be incredibly painful just to get through the day between the fatigue and the nausea. It's challenging. And if you have some sort of a condition that causes pain, like, for example, say you get the flu or COVID or something like that, there are very few things that you can use in pregnancy to treat that condition. But Tylenol, acetaminophen, is one of those things that we know is safe. We've been using it forever, and we've got lots of data that shows that it's safe. Now, to be fair, there is some data out there that shows that there's a possible association between Tylenol and autism, but an association does not mean that Tylenol causes autism. It just means we need to look into this a little bit more. And very importantly, there's other data that shows that there's no association. So this is how science works. It's often not clear. We really want black and white answers, but in many situations, it is just not clear. So we do need to do more research. But in the meantime, Tylenol is considered safe in pregnancy. And if you are pregnant and you are considering taking any medication, talk with your doctor about your circumstances, what's going on, what is the medication, and what is the best choice for you.
But that is the real problem with this administration, and specifically with Kennedy as Secretary of Health and Human Services, is to take these studies that are incomplete, or to misconstrue the conclusions, or to, you know, mix up causation and correlation. In other words, all the things that a standard of science is supposed to prevent, especially at the highest levels, the Secretary of Health and Human Services should not be just trying to connect dots that have not actually been connected yet.
Yeah. Well, as scientists and as doctors, we all want to prove our hypothesis. We all want to, like, we all in the world want to be right. But the truth is that we are often not right when it comes to science, and we have to be honest and objective. And that is one of the most important things that we have to keep in mind as scientists. When the data does not come out in your favor, too bad, the data is the data. But RFK Jr. and his ilk want to market whatever they have in a way that serves them, not us. And it's irresponsible. I mean, this man is not a doctor. He has said, don't take medical advice from me. That's the best advice he's ever shared.
It is. And look, he's not the only one. We have one of the worst when it comes to purveyors of misinformation right here in the senior senator from Wisconsin, Ron Johnson. Now, again, I don't want to get ahead of my skis on this. However, we heard him belittling one of the nation's leading COVID researchers the other day. And he was citing the fact that a study was discredited. The study initially said that, was it the hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, one of his two that he loves to go to. That initial study said, you know, that this stuff is bad, maybe even dangerous. But then the study itself had to be retracted. Well, that's fine. But Ron Johnson's taking that as proof that these products are safe and should have been tried. Again, connecting dots that are not there. The discrediting of a study does not mean that the opposite of their conclusion is true.
They love to take something that has a little kernel of truth to it and blow it up in the wrong direction. So there is a little kernel of truth that ivermectin does help with COVID, but it's in giant quantities that we can't actually tolerate and in a petri dish, not in our own bodies. But to take that study and that information and to project it into the general public and make something that can be helpful, and that's something that doctors are withholding from you, that just undermines your trust in your physician and your trust in science. And frankly, it's not good for any of us. Like, we have to believe in the people who are taking care of us. You have to have, one of the most important things is that therapeutic relationship. If you don't trust your doctor, you're going to walk out of that visit saying, that was a giant waste of my time and money. And Ron Johnson seems to be wanting to spend his entire career in the Senate undermining exactly that trust.
Yeah. Here's something else that's undermining health, and that is the changing of guidelines for the COVID vaccine, which is out now for this season, but is available to fewer people. I believe it's now 65 and up and or with certain health conditions. And Kristen, I'm actually seeing people online saying, look, there's a lot of us, not yet 65, who still feel like we should have the COVID vaccine and are being urged to essentially, you know, either make up a health condition or shop around so that you can get the COVID vaccine, because it's clear that the Trump Kennedy HHS is not really promoting vaccination against COVID this winter.
Well, they're saying you can get it if you want it, but you can't. And it's because of them.
Yeah.
My son called me yesterday. He goes to school at Stevens Point. His friends are all sick with COVID. He said, Mom, I don't even know where I can get a vaccine because it's just not available. I had the same experience with a neighbor who is a senior citizen, went to his doctor, and they denied him a COVID vaccine because Kennedy's recommendations are preventing clinics from offering these medications. I don't know if he doesn't understand what the process is for making sure that vaccines are available or if he's just playing dumb, but people can't get vaccinated if they want to get vaccinated because he is putting all of these barriers between you and your healthcare. And friends, COVID season is coming, flu season is coming, RSV season is coming, and there will be unnecessary deaths for people who want to be vaccinated but are unable to get that vaccine, those vaccines.
And by the way, the barriers that we're talking about also include insurance companies, because when they hear Trump and Kennedy and others, you know, not recommend these things, that gives them a reason not to cover it and to say, well, we're denying your request for it. And so maybe you can get it, but you'd be paying out of pocket. In the meantime, it's such a huge step back from where we were when we made the vaccine as readily available as quickly as possible and saved countless lives. And we are, without a doubt, marching backward. And again, not to sound alarmist, but we certainly have reason to be concerned about how things are going to go this winter between COVID, the flu, and RSV.
As a women's healthcare provider, my patients have been living with the inability to make their own decisions about their own healthcare for a very long time. So welcome to the party, general public. This is what happens when politicians are making your healthcare decisions for you. We've got to stand up and fight back. That's the only way to get past this.
It is. We're talking to Dr. Kristen Lierley here. Let me give you an update on what's happening in Utah in the Charlie Kirk murder. Law enforcement officials say they will hold a news conference in the next half hour about the detention of a person in relation to the Charlie Kirk shooting. It deals with the case of a young adult who has been detained, who apparently confessed to his father, perhaps. Again, these are preliminary reports, and that the father kept him and turned him in, essentially, to law enforcement. And again, we'll see what the official word is coming up in the next half hour. We will monitor that press conference, and then we will share the details. We'll have Mike Clemens giving a sports and update on the Packer game. And then in our 8:52 segment, we will spend that time recapping what we know so far about what's happened with the Charlie Kirk murder out there in Utah. the Packer game that I just referenced. The Packers were winners there against the Washington Commanders. It was just a really good game overall, like Kristen was saying, 27-18, and now they're off until September 21st when they will take on Cleveland. That's a Sunday afternoon, 9 days from now at noon. And then there's more football coming up. We've got the Badgers at Alabama. That'll be starting at 9 a.m., the pregame, on several Civic Media stations. We also have the Brewers tonight in St. Louis, and we have a free Ticket Friday keyword that we've been saying all morning. You have till 9 to text us the keyword catch, C-A-T-C-H. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
Falls Radio, WXCO.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. September 4th, Native Nations asked the U.S. Supreme Court to uphold the longstanding right of individuals to bring voting rights complaints to federal court. If the High Court takes the case, its decision could have consequences for voting rights protections under the Voting Rights Act. In 2021, the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians and the Spirit Lake Nation negotiated with the state of North Dakota to create voting districts which didn't dilute Native voting power. But after a 2023 Eighth Circuit Court decision in Arkansas, the state of North Dakota reneged on its deal with the tribes. The decision said only the U.S. Justice Department, not individual voters, could bring suits to enforce the VRA. Of 450 VRA Section 2 cases since 1982, only 18 were brought by DOJ. May 14th, a three-judge appeals panel affirmed that decision, but still only for the Eighth Circuit. After a July 15th stay, the nations asked the High Court on September 4th to take the case. Spirit Lake Nation Chair Lana Jackson Street said, "It is shameful that when we succeeded in court and got a fair map in place, the state turned its attack toward the Voting Rights Act and a person's right to vote free from discrimination. We need the Supreme Court to protect our fundamental right to vote and be heard." We have our past reports on the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at SCORE.org.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome back. It is WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Talking Wisconsin sports with Paul Micklick and Badgers in Alabama tomorrow. And watching last week, again, it's like it's never easy for the Badgers anymore. There's never one of those games where you just, you know, by halftime be able to pop the feet up on the table and say, okay, they got this one in hand. Even last week against a Middle Tennessee team that I don't think is going to win more than three games this season, they still have to struggle for a while.
It just didn't look, you know, those, when you're watching the Packer game, the first two, for example, you get it, you feel that they're in control.
Yep.
And which is a good thing, obviously. I mean, you want to be in that. When you watch Wisconsin, you never felt they were in control. The whole game, you never felt they were in control. And then the concern would be, if you can't control them, who can you control? They just, something that they have never really have looked smooth.
No. And even that, I mean, the first drive, they were being driven right down the field, and it was like some poor calling for Middle Tennessee, and then the Badgers took advantage of a couple of big plays. But this is going to be, I know Alabama struggled against Florida State, but boy, the Badgers are going to have to find a level that we have not seen in order, I think, to be competitive, especially on the road.
When's the last time that you're going into a game and go, man, hopefully you don't lose by 35?
Because you normally feel like, okay, you can see it.
You can see something, yes.
I don't see it here. Do you see anything here?
I want to sit here because I am the biggest homer ever in the history of mankind. And I don't see how they're going to be able to stop them defensively in the air, on the ground, how they're going to be able to run the ball, how they're going to be able to throw the ball, even though the young man's playing pretty good. He was O'Neal. A starter. O'Neal, yeah. I mean, he started before. So it's not like he's just coming off the street here. He has started at college.
Right, right.
And but he's going to have, I don't see guys just running free. I don't see easy passes. I don't see anything. What's going to be there? What are they attacking? It'll be interesting to see what they are. Maybe I wouldn't be a great to see them come out there and
the first drive and just
and lose
take it down
and
the
lose
field.
Even 28-21 or something like that. I think that would be
kind of like Oregon
great.
Last year, where he came in really feeling, whoa, Oregon's been number one team in the country, and they actually in many ways outplayed them and gave themselves a chance to win because of the defense.
I would say it was the defense. It was not.
Yeah, it was not the offense.
It was not the offense because he got fired the game after that.
Yeah, yes, he did.
So that would be I would like to see not 13-6. I would like to see 28-21.
Right.
Just because.
Do good things on both sides.
Do good sides, yes. Because then you at least can have balance and complimentary, football everybody talks about. You can have some of that. That would be awesome if they could do that. And,
yeah.
I just don't know. Man, that's it. I mean, are you going to watch that after Sully's show?
Of course. I mean, at least for a while. hopefully they'll still be close enough by the time I get home that I'll want to watch at least for a little bit.
Because last year it fell apart in that end of the second quarter.
Because they came out okay. You know, they kind of moved the ball a little bit early.
Well, they lost their quarterback in the first one of the first drives, and it was one of those things where fall apart.
When it did fall apart, it fell apart. And unfortunately, and frankly, I think that Alabama having a loss does not help the Badgers because they know they can't stub their toe anymore.
Can they even stub their toe about not that they got to dominate the game?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they're going to get a loss or two in their conference.
So it's one of those situations where they know they have to come out and play very well. So there's not going to be no looking past the Badgers towards their conference at all, I don't think either.
Because that's their big – I mean, they're not going to look at that last week's and go, hey, they beat that team 73-0. Nobody's going to care about
right.
that.
This is a
But if they beat Wisconsin 73-0, yes,
and
that's
the
whole
SEC and
story.
The Big Ten have a little rivalry going on right now because the Big Ten is trying to act like they're better than the SEC, and the SEC thinks they're better than the Big Ten. So these kind of games I do think have significance when you look ahead to either seeding for the playoff or even getting into the playoff as well.
Correct.
Brewers lost 3 in a row in Texas. They opened a series with St. Louis, but Cubs are still 5.5 games behind, 5 in the loss column. I was shocked that they lost the third game because I thought, well, okay, the Brewers don't get swept because that's the way it feels. They don't get swept.
When I walked out of here last week, I said they got to go 4-2.
But also, though, I said that I don't think the Cubs are capable of taking full advantage even if the Brewers do take a step back, and I think we found that out.
Yeah.
Cubs are 5-5 in the last 10. The Brewers are only 4-6 in the last 10. So actually, the Brewers did leave the door open for Chicago, and they weren't able to take advantage.
If they would have went 4-2 and got that one extra game, I know it sounds simple. It was a big – but the game against Philly and that they lost in the third game.
Yeah.
And losing, getting swept here, is going to cost them the number one seed. You want to put a bet on it?
All right.
With Philly.
87-60, 89-58. Brewers are getting the number one seed. Phillies have some injury issues of their own.
The Phillies just played their best opponent, though. That was the Mets.
Yeah, they swept them. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep. Yep.
You know,
so
much, but the Mets are struggling. They might blow their playoff berth and David Stern's genius is.
You want to see? They're not going to blow. They're not that. They're going to blow it. That
it's like two games ahead now of.
Is it Cincy or
Cincy
and San Fran?
Cincy's one game back in the loss column, and San Fran's one game back in the loss column. So it's becoming interesting.
And Cincinnati, guess who they still play? Both the Cubs and the Brewers.
Oh,
so they're got a lot to play for. I'm telling you this right now, they will lose that number one seed.
All right, we're gonna see.
I don't want them to.
I know, but your guy last night, 14-0 in the Packers, and you're still looking for. You're always. Never.
Hey, what did Matt LaFleur say at halftime? What did he say? Left a lot of points on the.
But you're that way. You got that mentality that you want to keep hitting that accelerator, which is a good thing. You know, that's what you got to do.
Got to finish.
Well, good luck tonight.
Thanks, Chad. You guys have a great weekend.
We are going to be back the Monday. Ian. Oh, geez, I forgot the number for the day. Well, we're out of time.
It's okay.
We'll do it Monday. Bye.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. Members of the legislature are considering their own security, Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Wisconsin lawmakers are again talking about their safety after the assassination of right-wing figure Charlie Kirk. Kirk was shot and killed from 200 yards away during a speech in Utah on Wednesday. And months ago, Minnesota State Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband were gunned down in their home, while another state rep and his wife were shot. Assembly Minority Leader Democrat Greta Neubauer says security decisions are in the hands of Republicans.
Given the recent rise in political violence, of course, this is top of mind for many of our colleagues and, of course, the staff who work in the Capitol as well, the press, the guests, the children that come through this building on Capitol visits. So it's an ongoing conversation, and we hope to continue that with our Republican colleagues who, of course, control the safety in our chambers as well as the other entities in the Capitol.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says he's open to lawmakers using funding for their offices to increase security at their homes.
I am very confident in the police force that we have inside the Capitol. If you look at the incidents that have occurred, frankly, when you look at Minnesota, it was in their homes. If you look at what happened yesterday with Charlie Kirk, it was in a public venue on a campus. So the idea that we're somehow going to fortify a single building to make people feel safer when the reality is that most of the violence that has occurred has not been inside a government building, it's been outside or at people's home. One of the things we have talked about is the possibility of people having using their office account for security at their home. You know, if they want to do that, I'm open to that idea.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News. Find more news anytime at WXCO.FM.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Daniel Day-Lewis says he would have kept his mouth shut instead of announcing in 2017 that he was retiring from the movie business. During an interview with Rolling Stone, Day-Lewis dismissed his 2017 announcement. The three-time Oscar winner said about his retirement that it just seems like such grandiose gibberish. Day-Lewis added that he never intended to hang it up for good and says he just wanted to focus on other work at the time. His three Best Actor awards for the films There Will Be Blood, My Left Foot, and Lincoln are a record for a male actor. The 68-year-old Lewis said he never stopped loving the actual work, just guessing that The Irishman would be a real challenge to direct, even if you're his son Ronan, who is responsible for convincing dear old dad out of retirement so he could appear in his film Anemone, a story that explores the complexity of relationships between fathers and sons. Daniel also wrote the script with Ronan. You can check out the work of this father-son duo very soon. Anemone will be released October 10th. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Borbins. Some patchy fog possible early, otherwise partly sunny skies and another spectacular September day with a high of 79. Tonight, an isolated shower or storm possible after midnight, a low near 60. On Saturday, partly sunny and warm, a high of 82. Right now, 53 degrees.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, federal cuts are threatening food share programs across the country, but one county in Wisconsin is working to keep them alive. Wisconsin Watch journalist Bennett Goldstein is our guest. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Once again, we are monitoring developments out in Utah where somebody has been taken into custody in the Charlie Kirk killing, and we will either go to the press conference or monitor it and bring you the details as soon as we're able. It's been delayed once, maybe delayed again, so we are just going to continue on here for the meantime and tell you that it is Free Ticket Friday, and so if you'd like to be in the running for a statewide drawing for four great seats to see the Brewers versus the Angels next Thursday night, then get to the Civic Media app, use the text feature, and text us the word catch, C-A-T-C-H. And you can enter multiple times today. There'll be different shows with different keywords, so listen throughout the day to get multiple entries. And again, one will be plucked to see the Brewers next week. Brewers were off yesterday. We will talk more about the Brewers, but first, of course, we got to get to the Packers and a Thursday night game at home at Lambeau Field against the Washington Commanders, where Mike Clemens was following it and joins us now. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Yeah, a 27-18 win for the Packers over a Commanders team that, you know, got as far as the NFC Championship playoffs last year with the Dan Quinn at head coach, and who had led the Falcons to a Super Bowl, and Matt LaFleur was his quarterback coach. And Matt Ryan was the MVP that year, but they lost in the fourth quarter to Tom Brady and the Patriots. This Packers defense just was the star of the game again last night. It, led by Micah Parsons, who they picked up in that trade now 2 weeks ago. He had a half a sack, but you know, you can see these teams are having a game plan for him. And they hit the quarterback 12 times, sacked him 4 times. I mean, Jaden Daniels, who was the NFL rookie, offensive rookie of the year last year at quarterback, he was, you know, on the run all night long. And talking to Xavier McKinney, the safety at his locker late last night, now these guys got the weekend off. I don't know. It's like, we just talked about the speed of the defense. And he said, yeah, I had nothing to do tonight because either the quarterback was under duress, or, you know, Keyshawn Nixon was out there in their corner and had 5 deflected passes at corner. And that, you know, the Commanders, that's an older team. You know, Vaughn Miller, I think Larry McCarron said this is like his 15th season.
Yeah, a couple of guys. He said one of the guys was 85 years old. I mean,
Bobby Wagner, you know, yeah. Bobby Wagner from the Seahawks is one of their linebackers. So, you know, maybe that Packers youth kicked in, but whatever. And one of the guys in the network that I was on last night said, have you ever seen a Packers defense that fast? And I had to think about it. I mean, you know, they had Reggie White, but not 5 or 6 guys like, you know, Edgerrin Cooper and Quay Walker, you know, getting praise from McKinney last night about it. He says he's so tall and is fast. And now he knows where he's going and understands, you know, where the play is developing. So between that and then big Devontae Wyatt, from the defensive line, breaking through the A gap and putting pressure on the quarterback and, you know, deflecting passes. So that defense has, you know, had a tremendous week, 2 weeks in a row now.
They did. And, you know, for me, the surprising thing was knowing, you know, I don't know much, but I did know that Jaden Daniels, you know, had a heck of a season last year with Washington. And so I was a little nervous that we'd get, you know, how we would face, like, you know, Colin Kaepernick in his prime, how he only seemed to have the Packers number. And I was a little bit worried about that. But this defense was like you said, nothing I've seen before in terms of speed in shutting down another top five offense. But now we got to go to the other side of the coin, and there's always people banged up afterwards, but this one is especially tough, watching how hard wide receiver Jaden Reed came to the ground after making a catch in the end zone.
Yeah, opening drive, he's running down the right-hand side. It looks like he's going to catch this 39-yard pass from Jordan Love for a touchdown. It would have been nullified, actually, because of Anthony Belton, the rookie, filling in a tackle. Mm-hmm. I think it was a holding call on him. But Jay Reed, who he had that dislocated shoulder and had to leave the Eagles playoff game. It was able to heal on its own. He didn't need surgery. But he comes down, comes over, and they go in the x-ray, broken collarbone. And, you know, like some agent told ESPN, well, yeah, 6 to 8 weeks, but it's like, come on. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, we did that. We went through this twice with Aaron Rodgers. It may be December, right? If he's right. able to come back at all or something like that. They're going to get Christian Watson back, who they just gave that $13 million extension to sometime next month.
Sometime next month. Okay. Well, we do have other weapons in the meantime, so that works out well. The Packers are off. They've got a 9-day break here before they play September 21st, a noon game against Cleveland. But there were some honors there last night, a former player being honored. You got to talk to a former coach, Mike McCarthy, as well?
Yes, Sterling Sharp, you know, the receiver for Mikowski and the early part of Favre's career, went into the Hall of Fame last month, and now his name is up there in the Ring of Honor. So they did that at halftime. And, yeah, I ran into Mike McCarthy, you know, I covered all those years. And he was honored last weekend at the Packers game, when they brought back for the 15th anniversary, the Super Bowl 45 team, and he came running out of the tunnel, and, you know, people, the fans just went nuts there during that Lions game. Well, he was back up there again. Someone invited him to be in a suite, and he told me that, you know, after he got let go by the Cowboys, that Jerry Jones brought him in for a meeting. He was moving back to Green Bay, selling the place down in Dallas, and he had a meeting with Jerry in June, just to sort of, you know, smooth things out, whatever. But now Mike, you know, spent the summer in Door County on his boat, and he's lives in the De Pere area, and he and Jessica's youngest is still an eighth grader, so he's going to all those games. And he's doing some media now, too, for, like, ESPN. But it was just, you know, it was great to see him, great to catch up with the coach like that, and to see the fans welcome him back, too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, because, I mean, one thing he didn't do, he became a competitor. He became the competition, but he didn't take on this, you know, diva-like thing and trashing the old team. And so, no. You know, still on good terms with the fans, which you can't say about everybody.
You know, maybe his worst loss was mm-hmm. to the Packers in that playoff game, too. You know,
that
might have been the last straw. Hey, you know who else I saw last night? Do you remember Doug Williams?
Yeah.
You know, the Washington quarterback led them to Super Bowl 22, 4 touchdown passes, 6-4-4, huge. He was with the Commanders last night. I saw him getting off the team bus, and I saw him a couple times in the press box. I mean, you know, it's like, wow, Hall of Famer right there, and mm-hmm. Super Bowl MVP. So, you know, those kind of, it's a Thursday night primetime game, so they got those guys there, you know.
Yep. No, you get all the celebs, you get the pregame being done outside and everything else. Then you've got the atmosphere of, you know, college football. And while this one will not be at Camp Randall, but when they go play the Crimson Tide in Alabama, even though Alabama isn't quite the juggernaut that it used to be, they're still a very formidable foe. And I'm sure knowing that the Badgers are coming to town, that's going to make for big festivities happening in Bama tomorrow.
Yeah, the Wisconsin Badgers are playing a game in Alabama for the first time ever. It's 11 o'clock tomorrow. Alabama's now 19th ranked in the country. They beat the Badgers at Camp Randall last year, 42-10. And they're 21-point favorites tomorrow against Luke Fickle and his Badgers. But he says, you know, my guys, we got this one circled after last year. And you know, who knows? maybe they'll rise to the occasion and you know, accept the competition that way. But yeah, they're going to be down in Tuscaloosa, which is, isn't that like an old Groucho Marx joke, something about a, you know, I shot an elephant in Africa, but I found the tusks were very difficult. But in Alabama, the tusks are looser. So we'll see how that goes tomorrow for them. There's one time I found that the Badgers beat Alabama.
Yes.
November 1928.
Yes. I heard that earlier in the morning, like, oh, we haven't beat Alabama since 1928. I'm like, what? I go looking it up and like, well, that's like the only other time we played them. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been that way. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, pregame will be at 9 o'clock, starting on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon. So be sure you check out the Civic Media website to learn more about that. The Brewers had last night off, and that was when you've got that in the middle of a homestand, that is just especially nice. You know, you got your home game isn't until the next day, and you've got this opportunity to go to maybe see, I don't know, a Packer game. And there were definitely some Brewer sightings last evening.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I saw on the sideline, you know, just before the national anthem, I saw Bryce Terang, Sal Frelick, Caleb Durbin. Yeah, a bunch of the guys came up from Milwaukee, had the night off after they got back from Texas. Now, they got swept by the Rangers this past week, which was the only time this season they've lost a three-game series. The first was that opening weekend series against the Yankees. And it's only the third time that they've been swept since Pat Murphy took over last year's manager. I think they got swept by the Phillies once last year as well. But tonight, they're taking on the Cardinals. First pitch at 7:10. And I'm going to try and get down there for that one, so if I can get into that Pat Murphy pregame press conferences, because, you know, see, you know, if he pulls out any pancakes or waffles out of his pocket or whatever. But did you see during the Rangers game, a couple of the mascots from the Rangers were holding up signs in a fence behind home plate to try and distract the Brewers pitcher that said pocket waffles?
Yes, pocket waffles, and waffles are better, and all of that. You know, I was going to make another observation about that at that stadium there. Look, but behind the batter, you know, and the catcher, and if you see the people, they're the season ticket holders. Okay, they're in the seats. You get that they've got a little bit more scratch than a lot of fans do. That's fine, fine. But what they've got at Texas, and I know there's a couple of other, I think there's a couple other stadiums like this too. It's not seats behind the batter. It's like a little restaurant or a club that people are just kind of walking around with their sandwiches and their cocktails, like a bar. And it really rubbed me the wrong way, Mike. It's like, the people who are sitting in the seats are paying attention to the game. I don't want to watch some rich Texas whatevers, you know, just hobnobbing in the background, not really paying attention to the game. It just really struck me as, and I don't use this word very often, but elitist. And you know, but let me make clear, Mike, if you ever get me a ticket to get me in there, I'm gonna go. I'm just gonna pay more attention to the game than some of these people were.
Hey, one time in the 90s, I was in Washington, D.C. covering some stories for CBS. But then at night, I went with a buddy of mine. And he said, let's go see an Orioles game. Let's go check out this new Camden Yards. We walked up, and they had seats up in the bleachers and some in the seventh row right behind home plate. Well, hey, we did that. They were affordable. We sat down. And there's this guy that people kept on saying hello to during the home game. And it was during Ripken when he's having his, you know, his career streak. And during the seventh inning stretch, this guy who everybody was waving to, including George Will, remember the conservative talking, this guy had a bald spot. He turned around and was waving to people. It was Jim McKay.
No.
I'm like, what's Jim McKay? It turns out Jim McKay was a part owner of the Orioles.
I had no idea. Wide World of Sports, Agony of Defeat, that Jim McKay. Wow.
Sitting right in front of us, yeah. So, you know, the Dodgers have got Mary Hart from Entertainment Tonight. She's got these prime.
She's got great seats. Yes,
at the Dodgers games. And Milwaukee's got front row Amy, who comes down every couple of nights to keep stats. But, you know, she's there. So, but these people, at least our fans, are intently watching the game in the front row.
That's exactly right. And by the way, at 89 wins, Brewers still have the best record in the major league. So there'll be plenty of good material to watch tonight as they start a series with the Cardinals. Mike Clemens, thank you as always for the Friday morning sports. Have a great start to the weekend.
Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate it.
All right. Yep. Appreciate you very much. All right. Let's pause here. And then when we come back, some final news and notes from Lake Wasota. We'll have any update that we've got from what's happening out in Utah as well. And then Matt and Aaron Air follows us right after the 9 o'clock news. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-230-2777. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-230-2777 or biglou.com.
Does Donald Trump's big bill provide the largest federal spending cut in U.S. history? No. Spending cuts in the bill that Trump signed wouldn't be the largest ever, despite claims by Republican U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald. The original House version would have nominally cut over $1.6 trillion over 10 years. The final version cut even less, $1.2 trillion. With $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, the act will increase federal debt by a massive $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Nonpartisan analysts say the plan's cuts would rank behind a 2011 law's $2 trillion in spending cuts. As a percentage of GDP, it doesn't rank in the top 5%. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
The green and gold, tailgating the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Well, again, we're monitoring events in Utah, where a news conference will be getting underway soon about a possible suspect in the shooting of Charlie Kirk. It all started with the president of the United States speculating out loud on a basic cable morning show, Fox and Friends, saying, "I think with a high degree of certainty we have him in custody, but Trump said he couldn't go too far in sharing the details." He said that he was turned in after somebody that he knew recognized him. Somebody that was very close to him said, "That's him." The president said, according to the New York Times here, he's subject to being corrected, but that he was sharing information, quote, "based on what I'm hearing." He says a minister who is also involved in law enforcement communicated with the person's father and eventually was able to turn him into authorities. And as if all the speculation weren't enough, the next thing the president of the United States said is, I hope he gets the death penalty. Well, again, so much for due process. Okay. Look, if you're talking just, overarchingly symbolically about whoever the murderer turns out to be, well, that's one thing, but I think we can agree that's not what Donald Trump was talking about, but just this person who they're about to announce as having been arrested. And there is a name and an age of age 22 that is out there. But again, federal authorities have said they're still in the process of pursuing leads and executing search warrants. And so there will be this news conference, but I can't say with any certainty how much certainty that they're going to have as well. So we will continue to monitor it here. And at the very least, Civic Media will record it and bring it to you as part of Matt Nair on Air, and then try to give some context to what's happening. Because again, this is a very fast moving story, and we're trying to keep speculation to a minimum, just passing along things as we hear them from figures of authority, knowing full well that those figures of authority may not necessarily have all the information either. It's a theme that we just keep coming back to on this program, is that it's important to get the facts right rather than trying to scoop everybody else, and to provide the proper perspective when we're giving it. I hope that we're able to do that for you. So let me close here with an article in the Isthmus newspaper out of Madison. And if you go to isthmus.com and head to the opinion section, I was very happy to see the name of Mary Bergen in there. Mary Bergen, B-E-R-G-I-N. She is a very experienced freelance travel writer, and was one of our freelance writers for the first couple of years here at Up North News, writing all manner of stories about places in Wisconsin. But she is very much a world traveler. And as a world traveler, she has taken the pulse of communities around the globe over these past 7-8 months, and has an opinion column in there that leads like this: I am eager to offer apologies this year and already issued dozens while exploring Mexico, reconnecting with Canadian colleagues in Charleston, and attending international travel events in Chicago. I'm sorry for our government's attitude toward yours. I'm sorry for the stress you may feel when traveling here. I'm sorry if you haven't felt welcome. So many of us are glad you chose to visit. We aren't all like that. She says the replies she gets are a mix of chuckles and thanks and reassurance and suspicious looks and confidential tales of life's new complications. Before I read more of it, it occurred to me I did not start the segment by saying that one last time, if you haven't texted us the keyword yet for our text to win contest for 4 Brewers tickets, it's catch, C-A-T-C-H, and you got just over 2 minutes to send that back our way. Catch is the keyword. There will be more keywords throughout the day to potentially win Brewers tickets to see a game next Thursday against the Angels of Anaheim, Los Angeles County, something like that. Back to Mary Bergen, travel writer, talking about how the world of travel, she writes, has been so muddled this summer. So many are not quite sure where to go or what to expect. That includes frequent flyers who appreciate cultural differences and know how the amplified antics of politicians diminishes the quiet goodwill of average people worldwide. We travel writers, she says, debate whether to delete our social media content before approaching customs, or whether it's best to write about countries other than the U.S. this year. And then she goes on to talk more about the conversations that she has been having. And it is clear that, and it's been clear from my travels as well, that most people around the world understand the difference between the American people and government and politicians and even pop culture, that American people, by and large, the ones who are traveling overseas are ones who are, want to get a worldview that is much more well-rounded, because that is the antidote to things like xenophobia and jingoism and all the other quote unquote ugly American traits that we see out there. Okay, for years and years, it doesn't matter who's in power, people around the world have appreciated the American people and welcome them to their countries, especially when they're spending their tourism dollars here. Unfortunately, you do sense a bit of a shift because, again, it took 70 million of those Americans to put Donald Trump back in office. And there's a little more hesitancy. Well, a lot more hesitancy. Foreign travel to the U.S. is plummeting. And again, it's one of the many ways that the election result from last November is costing our economy in terms of visitors, in terms of goodwill, in terms of trust. I will say, however, from my own travels earlier this year, the one thing they do know is that when Americans are traveling abroad, by and large, the ones who are traveling are not folks who are going to be spewing some of the ugliest lines of American politics these days, because the ones who are spewing some of the ugliest lines in America these days, the last thing they want to do is travel and see the rest of those people around the world. So hopefully a lot more Americans will have an expanded worldview and use up that passport. I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks so much for tuning in. We will do this again bright and early Monday morning, 6 a.m. here up north. In the meantime, head over to upnorthnewswi.com, sign up for a newsletter, and head to Spotify and listen to us as a podcast. Matt and Air on Air is next.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report, a suspect in custody in Wednesday's assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. President Trump broke the news on Fox.
But was a person of faith, a minister, and brought him to a U.S. Marshal who was fantastic, and the father convinced the son, this is it.
Word came hours after the FBI released new images of the suspected gunman jumping from the roof of a building near the spot where Kirk was killed at Utah Valley University. CBS's Carter Evans from Orem.
These were enhanced, and they were really good photos. I mean, you could get a really good look at this guy's face.
We're expecting more details at a news conference beginning shortly. In the meantime, Utah Governor Spencer Cox says,
we've been working with our attorneys, getting everything that we need, affidavits ready, so that we can pursue the death penalty in this case.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.